Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 17th. I'm Joy Carradine. Good to have you with us. The state Senate passed a bill yesterday that would require hospitals to provide the so-called morning after pill to rape victims. Senate Democrats and Republicans, too, voted 27-6 in favor of the bill, saying it would help rape victims ensure they don't get pregnant as a result of the attack. Pro-Life Wisconsin is the only group that registered in opposition to the measure, and we will talk with the legislative director of Pro-Life Wisconsin in this first half hour of the program about why that is. The Wisconsin Catholic Conference did not take a position. It did not actively oppose this bill. Other supporters included Planned Parenthood, the Wisconsin Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and the Wisconsin Nurses Association. After 7:30, we will hear from a guest from Planned Parenthood who supported this bill, and we will wonder what you think. We will welcome your questions and your reactions for both of our guests. Do you support this legislation or not? Why or why not? Should hospitals in Wisconsin be required to inform rape victims about emergency contraception and provide the rape victim with the so-called morning after pill or Plan B if she wants it? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We welcome first Matt Sandy, Legislative Director for Pro-Life Wisconsin. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. So why does Pro-Life Wisconsin oppose this bill?
Well, first I will say that we were not the only organization to register against the measure. The Wisconsin Family Council opposes the bill, Senate Bill 129, as well as the Eagle Forum.
Okay.
But when we look at the emergency contraception hospital mandate, it does just that. It would force every hospital in the state, regardless of the religious affiliation, to provide a known abortion-causing drug, the morning after pill, to victims of sexual assault. Now, Pro-Life Wisconsin's primary opposition to the bill is based on the abortion-causing action of so-called emergency contraception. Pharmacologically, EC can act in one of three ways. The first two mechanisms are truly contraceptive in that they prevent fertilization. The first is to block the release of an egg or suppress ovulation. And the second is to inhibit the mobility of sperm, to prevent the sperm from reaching the egg and the fallopian tube. In those two cases, fertilization has not occurred. Human life has not begun. But breakthrough ovulation does occur. And when that happens, you have fertilization, a newly formed life begins. And what the drug then does is to thin the lining of the uterine wall, deprive it of any nourishment, so that newly conceived life, that tiny embryo, cannot nestle in her mother's womb. The embryo is then flushed out and dies, and that is what we term a pre-implantation chemical abortion. And
supporters of this bill would say it simply means that there is no implantation.
Correct. And there's, you know, some of the confusion lies in with the fact that Planned Parenthood and other proponents of the bill will say the drug works to prevent pregnancy, does not cause an abortion, reduces the need for induced abortion. But they're defining pregnancy at implantation rather than fertilization. And the real question, the heart of the matter, is when human life begins.
Yeah,
that's the question.
And when, and a rape victim, a rape victim should have this implantation occur even if it was the result of a rape.
Well, that's what we don't know. I mean, we're weighing two interests here. Certainly the woman, the rape victim, has a right to defend herself against conception in the event of a rape. But it is exceedingly difficult, if not impossible, to accurately pinpoint whether fertilization has occurred or not. And a standard pregnancy test cannot do that. It's not designed to do that. It only tests for implantation. And so we're weighing the interest of the woman's right to defend herself against the right to life of that tiny embryonic child.
Mm-hmm.
And the right to life of that child takes precedence. Obviously, that is our pro-life view. Many will disagree, But from a pro-life perspective, we need to show restraint when in protecting newly conceived human life.
We're talking with Matt Sandy, Legislative Director for Pro-Life Wisconsin, who opposes a bill that passed in the state Senate yesterday that would require hospitals in Wisconsin to inform rape victims about and provide it, if it is requested, emergency contraceptives. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Matt Sandy says that these emergency contraceptives could act like chemical abortions, and doesn't think that hospital employees should have to make decisions that go against their moral beliefs. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine at 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Stay tuned. Later this morning, Peter Donald's in for Kathleen Dunn, talking with his guests after 10 o'clock about the history of the religious right and the rise of the moral majority and the legacy of Jerry Falwell, who passed away this week. That's coming up after 10 this morning. We're talking about a bill that passed in the state Senate yesterday that would require hospitals in Wisconsin to provide rape victims with information about and the morning after pill if it is requested. The bill now goes to the state assembly, where its fate is unclear. Matt Sandy, what's your prediction in the state assembly, whether or not this bill will pass?
Well, we're going to work to block it in the state assembly, and we're confident that we can do that. We've done it three sessions in a row, and certainly the Republican majority has considerably narrowed after last fall's elections. But there's a strong pro-life majority in that body, and we expect to block the bill. I will say that there are several other reasons why we oppose the bill beyond the abortion-causing effect of the morning-after pill. We're certainly concerned, as you mentioned, about the conscience rights of healthcare workers and hospitals. We do have protections in our federal constitution. Of course, the First Amendment that protect freedom of religious expression. We have a state constitution, Article 1, Section 18, which protects liberty of conscience, and we even have statutory provisions. Wisconsin Statutes 253.09, Parent 1, which protects hospitals in refusing to participate in abortion and sterilization. And they define abortion as the removal of a human embryo, and certainly we know the morning-after pill can act in that manner. So we're concerned that the Senate Bill 129 violates these conscience rights provisions, and that's important.
We have lots of callers, Matt Sandy, but I'm just trying to figure out, you don't object to the emergency contraception. Should it prevent the ovulation, or should it slow down the sperm to prevent the fertilization of the ovum? But you object to it solely because there's the possibility that breakthrough ovulation could occur and the possibility that a fertilized egg would travel to the uterus and that this emergency contraception would prevent its implantation?
Well, basically. I mean, we are concerned. The question is, are there tests that can precisely determine whether or not fertilization has occurred? There are none, and that's the concern. There are some more invasive tests. There is what they call a luteinizing hormone, or LH, a urine test. That will luteinizing hormone is an indicator for ovulation. There are also blood tests that test, progesterone levels that also indicate ovulation. But what our concern is, and how the bill is worded, is that it does provide an exemption for hospitals. It says that a hospital does not have to provide EC to a woman who is pregnant, as indicated by a test for pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But the concern is the pregnancy is not defined in the bill. Are they looking at pregnancy at implantation when the Department of Health and Family Services begins promulgating rules, enforcing noncompliance, slapping down forfeitures on hospitals? Are they going to interpret pregnancy at implantation? For example, a Catholic hospital may decide, well, we're not going to give a test for pregnancy. That only tests implantation. That's not going to work. So we're going to provide a more precise test to see whether ovulation has occurred. And if they go ahead and do that and they determine that ovulation has occurred and they refrain from giving the morning after pill because potentially a new life could be conceived, will they be in violation of the statute? And will they be subject to a fine? And so we're just not comfortable with that exemption at all. Mm. But
let me take some callers. Renee in East Troy. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, boy. I don't know where to begin. I'm going to try to control my anger, and so let me just say what I'm going to say, and then I'll take my comments off the air. But my first question would be, what business is it of yours or your group who you're representing to intervene in a rape victim's life? I mean, here she is admitted to the emergency room. She's in distress. She's been beaten, perhaps, or threatened with her life, whatever. Do you really expect her at that moment to want to undergo further tests that might take days or whatever to be completed with? And secondly, if a healthcare worker has problems with this legislation, they have every right to go and find another job. They could work at the Catholic hospital or whatever hospital they want to, where these things wouldn't be in place. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Matt, Sandy?
Well, sure. First of all, Pro-Life Wisconsin has great sympathy for rape victims. You know, I was at the hearing. I heard the testimony. It was heartbreaking. You want to cry along with the women who have been subject to these horrific crimes against their bodies. But our business with this bill is in protecting newly conceived human life. That is our interest. And, you know, a child conceived in rape is a human being and deserves legal protection despite the horrific circumstance of conception. In other words, the personhood of the child, their humanity, should not be contingent or dependent upon the circumstances surrounding his or her conception. And we need to offer compassion to all the innocent parties in the sexual assault. And Pro-Life Wisconsin does that. We constantly work with crisis pregnancy centers all over the state. We need to assist rape victims who may want to place their children for adoption, advocate counseling for victims, provide financial, material, and moral support for mothers who decide to keep their children. And we believe that is a truly compassionate response. Just, offering a pill, and it will not, make the rape go away. And, yes, it's a sensitive issue because, again, conceptually, the woman has that right to defend herself against conception. It's just we cannot pinpoint fertilization. There are no tests to do that, and we need to err on the side of innocent human life. Right.
But by not offering the pill, the emergency contraception, aren't you then probably ensuring that this rape victim, should she become pregnant, is going to have an abortion?
Well, what you're asking is if she doesn't receive the EC, that she may opt for a surgical abortion.
Right.
That's possible. But, from our standpoint, it doesn't matter how the abortion occurs, whether it's chemical in the form of the morning after pill or whether it's surgical, makes no difference. A child's life will end, and that is our interest. And
yeah.
Like I said, I appreciate and respect people's feelings on this issue. It is emotional, and these emotions are real. I mean, and like I said, I heard the testimony, and it was very moving.
Now, this legislation covers all hospitals, including hospitals that might be affiliated with the Catholic Church.
Correct.
Yeah. So, Renee, when she says they can go work at the Catholic hospital, that...
Right. This will impact every hospital in the state, regardless of their religious affiliation.
Right. Chris in Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. I was told by my mother, and I'm fairly old, and that makes her very old, that you could go to a Catholic hospital after having been raped, have an emergency DNC dilation, and something that I never did understand, but it had to do with scraping the lining of the uterus. And theoretically, that would get rid of whatever might be inside. Practically, she said it didn't always work. But it seems to me that the morning after pill is exactly the same thing as an emergency DNC, which the Catholic Church and the Catholic hospitals, according to my mother, have been practicing for decades.
Yeah, the Catholic Conference, I think, did not oppose this bill as long as it allows hospitals not to administer the pill to women who are pregnant, if tests show they are pregnant. So, but anyway, the Catholic Conference did not oppose the bill, Matt Sandy.
Right, they did not. You know, I get the exemption that says you don't have to provide EC if the woman is pregnant. Again, they may be comfortable with that exemption. We're not, because pregnancy is not defined. I will say that the Catholic Medical Association, at their 2003 annual meeting in Philadelphia, came out with a resolution prohibiting the use of the morning after pill in Catholic hospitals for rape victims. The Catholic doctors took a strong stance against using it for any reason, as well as the Vatican Pontifical Academy for Life, and for these reasons that I laid out.
Yeah. Is the DNC sanctioned by the Catholic Church, as far as you know?
I'm not sure, but again, the same concern would apply. Has fertilization occurred? You know, if it has, and that type of procedure is used, you could be ending the life of a newly formed human being. So whether it's the morning after pill or some other type of dilation, extraction, scraping of the uterine wall, the pro-life concern is, has a child been conceived? And we have to err on the side of innocent human life.
Rebecca in Belleville, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding the use of intrauterine devices, and I just wondered what your thoughts were on IUDs. Yeah. It's my understanding that they're similar in their method of action and that they prevent implantation. And
right.
Do you consider that?
Yeah, he probably opposes that too, Rebecca. What do you think of this legislation?
I'm sorry?
Matt Sandy, I don't want to veer off
sure.
into asking you what sorts of contraceptions you do or don't approve
right.
of, but the IUD does do the same thing. And
yeah, it does have that abortion-causing effect by blocking implantation, and the IUD has that effect the entire time. That is its main mechanism of action to prevent implantation.
Linda in Monroe. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I don't agree with your guest. I do support the legislation. I believe if a woman is raped, that she should be given the option of using the morning after pill. Now, she can refuse it, but she should be given the choice, and it should be explained to her at the time. Otherwise, I think anything else, in my opinion, would be considered a dictatorship.
Mm. One thing I will say with this drug is we've made the argument that the bill is simply bad medicine, because you're forcing the physician to immediately provide a very powerful steroidal drug regimen to a woman immediately, based solely on her request, no medical oversight, no assessment of her medical condition to maybe see if the drug, the morning after pill, may be medically contraindicated for a condition she may have, or whether it may adversely interact with the drug that she's on. And do we really want to do that? This takes away any autonomy or medical judgment from the physician, and to become automatons, robots, and having to dispense this. And I think that's a bad public policy, and it's bad medicine. And we also know that the morning after pill has health side effects. It is linked to blood clotting and a heightened risk of ectopic pregnancy. We're concerned about that as well.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Joy, again for having me.
Matt Sandy, Legislative Director for Pro-Life Wisconsin. We will welcome in a guest from Planned Parenthood with a different viewpoint on this bill coming up after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine, 7:36 now on this Thursday, May the 17th. Continuing now, talking about this bill that passed in the state Senate yesterday that would require hospitals in Wisconsin to tell rape victims about and to provide it, if it's requested, emergency contraception. The bill passed by a pretty wide margin. The vote was 27-6, and now it goes to the Assembly, where its future is uncertain. The sponsor of this legislation, Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson, she's a nurse, has treated rape victims in hospital emergency rooms in Wisconsin and elsewhere, and she says offering emergency contraception should be happening in all hospitals, that rape victims should be made aware that this is an option in order to prevent an unwanted pregnancy from a rape. We talked with a guest in our last half hour, Matt Sandy, Legislative Director for Pro-Life Wisconsin, who opposed this bill. Matt Sandy told us in some cases the emergency contraception, the so-called morning after pill, prevents the implantation of a fertilized egg, and he and Pro-Life Wisconsin consider that like an abortion. And he had other reasons for opposing the bill, and we are going to get a different perspective on it this half hour with Chris Taylor, political director for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, and we welcome your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you support this legislation or not? Do you think the Assembly should pass this bill or not that would require all hospitals in Wisconsin to provide rape victims with emergency contraception, or at least information about it? We welcome your calls. And I'm sorry, I think I mislabeled our guest, and I need to see what her title is now, Karen, so can you move that box? Chris Taylor is public policy director, I think, rather than political director, Chris Taylor.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. She sent me a note and then I couldn't read it. So you're public policy director
That's
for
right.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. So, let me just ask you to respond directly to the claims of Pro-Life Wisconsin and Matt Sandy that this emergency contraception, this morning after pill, should not be required to be given by all hospitals because it is, he put it, induces a chemical abortion in some cases by preventing the implantation of a fertilized egg.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me this morning, Joy. First of all, I would like to say that all rape victims deserve compassionate, comprehensive medical care, including information about and access to emergency contraception to prevent pregnancy following an assault. This should not depend on where she lives or what hospital she goes to or what health care provider she sees. It should happen every time because we do expect that patients will receive a basic level of competent medical care when they go to a hospital. And it should not be dependent on where they live or the luck of the draw of what physician they see. In terms of the allegation, and we've heard this allegation from Pro-Life Wisconsin for years now, that emergency contraception causes an abortion, you know, absolutely false. No credible medical organization in the United States has that perspective. But I think it's really important to note that Pro-Life Wisconsin opposes all birth control. They oppose even condoms. And that was, they very specifically articulated that during the hearing on this bill. So they have a problem with just regular birth control pills that women take every day. Emergency contraception is no different than other forms of birth control pills. It is just a higher concentration of hormones. It actually is a safer pill in a lot of ways because it does not have estrogen in it. And estrogen is the hormone in regular birth control pills that can lead to some side effects. So it's a very, very safe medication. It's less toxic than aspirin.
Yeah.
And that is why the FDA approved it for over-the-counter use. So it is a very, very safe medication.
Yeah. Again, someone with the pro-life views, like Pro-Life Wisconsin, don't think that, for one thing, hospitals, Catholic hospitals in particular, should have to administer this.
Well, it's very interesting because the Catholic hospitals did not oppose the bill. In fact, the Catholic Conference came to the hearing, and they testified that this bill was absolutely consistent with Catholic directives that do permit treating rape victims and offering emergency contraception if there is no pregnancy. And that is exactly what this bill provides. You know, we do, as I said before, we do expect that we are going to receive a basic level of care when you go into a hospital. Ethical principles that patients are entitled to a basic standard of care apply to all hospitals. There's not a specific exemption for a Catholic hospital. So we do believe that rape patients who are admitted to the emergency rooms should receive the same level of care regardless of what hospital they go to. And this bill will really ensure that that's happening. We know from a recent survey that only a third of Wisconsin's emergency rooms are offering emergency contraception to rape victims. And that is a statistic that is very, very disappointing and certainly needs to be improved upon. And this is a way to do it. But the opposition to this bill is very, very small, Joy. Pro-Life was the only organization registered as lobbying against the bill.
Yeah, I said that too, and then he said Eagle Forum and some other group were also.
Well, they're not registered on the ethics board website where lobbyists have to register. So if they're lobbying, they're breaking ethical rules in Wisconsin. And so, you know, I can tell you from the hearing that was on this bill that over 32 people testified in favor of the bill, with an additional 64 people registering in support of the bill. So there was overwhelming support for the bill. And I'll tell you, to sit through this hearing and to listen to the stories of the women who were so brave to come and talk about their experiences, a lot of the rape survivors that came talked about severe physical abuse that accompanied the assault. It was absolutely heart-wrenching and heartbreaking, and they were pleading with this legislature to pass this bill and testified very, very strongly that this is what rape victims need. They have the right to get this information. They are concerned about pregnancy prevention. They're terrified of AIDS. They're terrified of getting an STD. But they don't always know what questions to ask in the emergency room, particularly after undergoing one of the most traumatic experiences of their lives.
Yeah. Philip in Platteville is with us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a friend that was a child of a rape victim, and she turned out to be a very nice woman. And I don't think we're thinking of all the innocent that are involved. And the children need to be considered also. It's just...
Yeah. The child of a rape victim shouldn't be to blame for what happened, Chris Taylor.
Well, I mean, absolutely. And there are, you know, we are talking about pregnancy prevention, and I want to be clear on that. Even the FDA has said this pill does not cause an abortion, that it prevents pregnancy from occurring. Pro-Life is one of the very extreme groups that does not believe that birth control pills act in that matter. But certainly, rape victims sometimes do make the choice, if they become pregnant, to keep the child, and that is their choice. What this bill does is just ensure that they have choices, that they have the opportunity to take emergency contraception to prevent a pregnancy if they so choose. But certainly that is the choice of the rape victim. And there was a woman who came to testify at the hearing in support of the bill who did become pregnant from a very brutal assault, and she opted to continue the pregnancy. But that was her choice. And certainly no other person should be able to make that choice for the victim. The victim needs to have the power and needs to acquire that power back after undergoing a situation where the power was completely taken away from her.
We're talking with Chris Taylor, Public Policy Director for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. We're talking about a bill that passed in the state Senate yesterday that would require hospitals to make rape victims aware of and provided, if requested, emergency contraception. What do you think of this? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The vote in the Senate was 27-6. It now goes to the State Assembly, but its future is uncertain there. Our guest in the last half hour was confident that this would be defeated in the State Assembly. We'll ask our guest about that after the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
You may have discovered that our website is a great place to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and to learn more about what's happening behind the scenes at your favorite station. It's also a great place to make a contribution in minutes using our secure form. Visit wpr.org/membership.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from downtown Baraboo, hosting the Spring Fair on the Square on the 19th. Over 150 craft exhibits, food vendors, live entertainment, and children's activities. Online at downtownbaraboo.com.
Checking our weather forecast for today. It's going to be a sunny, cool day today with a high of 65. Clear and cold tonight with some patchy frost, a low of 38. Sunny, breezy, and mild tomorrow, a high of 75. Sunny, breezy, warmer still on Saturday with a high of 80. And on Sunday, more sunshine, mild temperatures, a high of 75. Currently, it's sunny in the area and 48 degrees in Madison. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll be talking with the author of Rethinking Thin. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock, talking with Chris Taylor, Public Policy Director for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, about whether hospitals should be required to give information about emergency contraceptives to rape victims and to provide the so-called morning after pill if it is requested, the pill that would prevent an unwanted pregnancy. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Matt Sandy, in our last half hour from Pro-Life Wisconsin, Chris Taylor, was confident that there were enough pro-life Republicans in the state assembly that once again this bill, which was defeated numerous times in the state assembly, apparently would be defeated again. What do you think?
Well, I think if the bill was allowed to get to the assembly floor for a full vote, that it would pass. We have the votes to do that. The question is whether leadership is going to let the bill get to the floor. And that is a question. We are very encouraged, though, that there is a Republican co-sponsor of the bill in the assembly, Terry Musser. So we have been able to secure, with the work of a statewide coalition, and people have been working very, very hard on this issue, to get this bill passed. We are very encouraged about the vote that came out of the Senate. It was a very strong bipartisan vote, and we're very encouraged that there is a Republican lead in the Assembly. So the question is really, is the leadership in the Assembly going to let the public be heard on the bill and going to let another public hearing to occur in the Assembly, and are they going to let the bill to get to the floor for a full debate and a full vote? And we would say that this bill deserves it, that it's been a long time coming, and certainly all rape victims in Wisconsin deserve to have this kind of care and deserve at least the consideration of the passage of this bill.
Yeah, that's right. I think I read that Representative Musser decided to go along with this bill because the Wisconsin Catholic Conference was not opposing it.
Well, that was one of the reasons, but he actually came to the hearing and listened to the testimony of the victims and was very moved by that. So, and he decided that this was a bill that he wanted to be the lead on.
Harold in Spooner is with us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to put things a little bit in perspective. Earlier, someone was talking about the morning after pill as having potential risk that it's a very powerful steroid and so on. I just want to put that in context. That's been spoken like a typical lawyer, not giving things in an even-handed, objective manner.
You know what, Harold? I'm sorry. Your cell phone is so difficult to understand because of the signal we have. And I think, Chris Taylor, you did address that this is safe and FDA-approved and all of that. So thank you very much, Harold, for the call. I believe our guest in the last half hour was saying that there were, you know, serious side effects, and this isn't a panacea, but I think we covered that. Sheree and Wapan, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I wanted to state that the reason I support this legislation is because when we have a medical condition, it's the obligation of the doctor to let you know what is available to you, and the patient always has a right to make their medical decision. And I believe that this particular bill falls in line with keeping that alive. And to me, you know, it's always the victim's choice if she chooses not to do it, just like if a victim, a person chooses not to have chemo or radiation. So I don't really understand why it's such an issue, especially if it's not actually causing an abortion but preventing a pregnancy. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Well, I thank you for your call, and I think you get at a really important point here, Sheree, and that is that there's an obligation that healthcare providers have to all patients, and that's called informed consent. And they have this ethical obligation to tell patients about all of their treatment options. The American Medical Association has come out very, very strongly in their protocols for the treatment of sexual assault victims that giving information about emergency contraception and dispensing it if requested by the victim is basic standard of care principles and is basic informed consent. So this is nothing new. We're not asking that rape victims get something special that other patients aren't getting. What this bill does is ensure that patients get what they should be getting and that rape victims get the information and the opportunity to take a birth control pill to prevent pregnancy after an assault. And honestly, that should already be happening in every Wisconsin hospital emergency room. Unfortunately, we know it's not happening. And this bill is designed to really remedy that terrible situation where patients aren't being provided with basic level of competent medical care.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. My producer, Karen Prager, indicates that Harold, the call that we couldn't hear very well, was a physician who wanted to say that pregnancy puts a woman's life at risk as well. There are many side effects to that.
Well, that is absolutely true, and the World Health Organization has estimated that approximately 15% of women who are pregnant do experience a severe health consequences as resulted from the pregnancy. So pregnancy does carry very severe risks, you know, and oftentimes that is that issue is not identified, but the caller is absolutely right. That is true.
Jim in Oshkosh, hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning, Joy, and good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
I was wondering, since questions of reproductive choice are usually so controversial in Wisconsin, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how it is that this particular measure has been able to get such broad support.
Well, you know, I think that's an excellent question. And Wisconsinites are very, very committed to prevention-based health care. And that is that comes out very, very clearly in any polling that our group, and really any group has done, any healthcare group does, in the state. So we have a strong commitment to prevention-based health care. And I also think that people just feel that very strongly about basic injustices and not providing rape victims with opportunities to prevent pregnancy after an assault. So I think there's incredible public support for this bill. We just polled on it. 79% of people in Wisconsin support the bill. I also think that when push comes to shove and when the bill finally made it to the Senate floor, you saw a very, very strong vote on the bill. You saw Republicans who had not supported the bill before voting for the bill. And I think that they understand that the political ramifications of opposing a bill like this are very, very, very significant for them. And that is why we saw people flip. That is also why I think there might be an effort to prevent this bill from getting to the floor in the Assembly. If it gets to the floor in the Assembly, it passes. And I'm very confident in saying that because we do have bipartisan support on the bill. But it's also due to a lot of hard work by a lot of people. There's a Compassion Care for Rape Victims Coalition that was composed of healthcare providers and victim advocates and rape survivors and law enforcement who really organized and advocated for the bill. And this was really a statewide effort. So I think all of those pieces, and then the last piece, and not ever to be forgotten, are the brave women who came out and who were willing to tell their stories, and willing sometimes for the first time to go public with their stories and to sit and watch and listen to what a lot of these women had survived was just life-transforming. I mean, it's amazing to me that Matt Sandy could walk away from that hearing still opposing this bill.
Yeah.
But they're
I'm just looking at some of the coverage of yesterday's vote. Republican Senator Scott Fitzgerald was among the no votes. Ultimately, he said it's still a question of conception and life, like when life begins. Also voting against the bill, Republican Senators Glenn Grothman, Dan Kopanky, Neil Kedzie, Mary Lazek, and Joe Lipum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of those senators are anti-birth control. They do not support birth control in any context. So I'm not that surprised in some ways by their vote. In other ways, I'm very surprised that even they wouldn't see that regardless of what your view is, this is a tragic situation and this option should be given to rape survivors.
Yeah,
so
let me take another caller. Barb in Chippewa Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for this show. I was at the hearing. I testified in favor of this bill. I wanted to comment. I'm a healthcare worker. I work at a Catholic hospital in Chippewa Falls. It's the Catholic hospitals in our area that understand the compassion. This is provided at a number of the other places, but this is not when Wisconsin right to life does not oppose something, you know that it's a pretty extreme position. I would, there was no evidence of the people who did testify against this that there was any compassion for women. I would ask Matt Sanvey to extend his compassion for the potential of a fertilized egg to the innocent human life of rape victims, girls, and sexual assault victims and incest. Thank you.
Chris Taylor?
Thank you, Barb. Barb was actually one of the very brave women who came down and told her story. And I'm very convinced that at the end of the day, that is really what made a difference with this bill. I think an important point is many Catholic hospitals are doing this. It is, as we said, and this has been talked about previously, but the Catholic Conference has said this is consistent with Catholic directives on how you treat sexual assault victims. I do, though, want to add that, you know, I mentioned before that it really should be the woman's choice, and sometimes women do opt to keep pregnancies. Other women, however, who've been raped find the prospect of becoming pregnant unimaginable and terrifying and traumatizing. So there are women who opt to keep their pregnancies, and that is their choice, and that is the choice that they make. But there are other women and women who testified who were very, very clear that becoming pregnant from the perpetrator of a sexual assault would continue their nightmare.
Let me hold you there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Chris Taylor, Public Policy Director for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. We had an emailer wanting websites of the guests. Planned Parenthood, all one word, PlannedParenthood.org or ProLifeWisconsin.org, ProLifeWisconsin.org. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.